everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Tales from the Doghouse Separation Anxiety Explained. I am Stacey Bell in the U.S. with Focused Fun, and co-hosting with me today is...
Hello, it's Ness Jones here. I'm in Australia with nessjones.com. And today we are going to be talking about something that's actually a little bit sad, I guess. Sudden onset, if you like, separation anxiety, but that's due to a companion dog, your dog's best buddy, your dog's best friend, passing away. And then so maybe the dogs were fine to be home alone previous to that. And then once the companion dog passes, that the existing dog has issues with being home alone by themselves.
Yeah. And this can happen with, even if it's it can be a companion pet, it can be a cat or whatever. So it doesn't always have to be another dog. No. And it can also be the case where the remaining dog does have separation anxiety already, and it's exacerbated, or kind of the training has become sidelined due to the death of a companion animal friend. Due to their friend.
Best friend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's tough to talk about because, you know, not only is it hard because you're the person is also grieving. And it's so hard to watch an animal grieve. Like, to me, that's one of the most heartbreaking things. So it's kind of a double thing. And then plus if you had been already doing separation anxiety training and it's been kind of sidelined, then that's another disappointment to deal with, or that you now have this behavioral struggle when you hadn't before. So it is a really difficult spot to be in.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things you have to be careful of, is to give the dog time to grieve, but also yourself time to grieve. And what that looks like. I hope that people do understand that dogs do grieve the loss, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's not just about, suddenly they can't cope when they're home alone, but more also that they're going through that same grieving process that we go through. My goodness. Shouldn't talk about losses of animals because, it's kind of an upsetting topic, really, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. They're such a part of our lives. And, when you do have an animal pass and then a part of your daily routine comes up that they're usually a part of, it hits you throughout the day, and it's just really, really tricky. And a lot of people, maybe people who haven't had pets or maybe don't think of pets at the same level you do might not understand that it can be, for a lot of people, like losing a person or
family member,
part of your family, or maybe even worse, like depending on your relationship. So, it's really tricky. So,
what is your take on, say you have got two animals in the house and one of them passes, on letting the one that's still there, seeing that it's gone? I've had it both ways, as in, so this dog that's had to go to the vets to be I don't even want to say the word, all the dog knows is that its friend's gone off with you and it hasn't come back with you. Another occasion, one of my cats died old age, but she died in the house, and everybody got to say goodbye. It's tough, isn't it?
It is really tough. And I have seen, we used to have horses, and when of our horses passed, we took it, her to the vet school, and, even like the other horses knew she wasn't doing well when we left. And they were stressed about that. And they were like, you know, doing their horse screaming as we were pulling away.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then, you know, like they never got, they never knew for sure. Right. Like, I guess that you don't know what they're thinking. But they did grieve, you know, for it, it didn't take long for them to establish a new routine, but it was about a week. But even when the horse next door passed away, they still like called out over the fence and, oh. and stuff. So they are pretty sensitive that way. And, and I think even like you think we had, guinea fowl and, a dog, not our dog, but another dog came and killed one of the, hens, and, the mate just like sat by the dead body and was like, you know, making this noise. And I was like, oh, so, you know, there's so many, examples of that, that I've seen. I've seen, you know, sometimes we used to have like a big watering trough for the horses. And, sometimes a squirrel would try to drink out of it and fall in and have a hard time getting out until we built a contraption so they could get out. But you know, you would see one squirrel on the ledge trying to help another squirrel out, or, you know what I mean? Like, so there's just so much like that I've seen in the animal world where like, I am totally sold that, that there is that grief. And I don't know though, like I, you know, it's hard to know what's going on in their minds, and it's hard to know if seeing the body helps them a lot. And what their understanding is of that. Like, I just, I don't know. And I haven't read or heard of, you know, research in that area. Have you?
No, I haven't. No, I just remember when they said goodbye to, Mizzy, they all went and had a sniff, but they weren't, they were really respectful. Maybe, I mean, because she was an old cat, maybe they knew that it was time, if you know what I mean, as opposed to a tragic accident where it's a little bit different. I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard one. I mean, I guess you want the dog to know they've gone, as opposed to where did they, you know, they've just vanished out of life and there's no explanation. But I don't, I really don't know. But
I can't imagine that, you know, just like thinking of a loved one vanishing and you not knowing what happened to them, how much more difficult that is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they conceptualize all of that, but I do know grieving. I do know that grieving happens.
Absolutely. And, yeah. And I think that's really important to, well, if you've got a dog that's grieving, then maybe to make sure that, you give it that time that it takes.
100%,
and that can involve just going and sitting somewhere and being, as opposed to jollying them out of it, if you like.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, just like people, different dogs will deal with things differently. But I do think there are a couple things to think about. And one of them is, if you are the type of person that has a fairly fixed routine with your dog, then, you know, continuing with that routine as much as you can help add some predictability to their lives, and that might be comforting for them. I agree with you, you know, when I'm feeling down and somebody's overly jolly,
snap out of it.
It kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, you know, but being present with your dog, doing the low key things they like to do, like, you know, like for Rowan, I would take him on a lot of long sniffy walks because that's, you know, something that he really enjoys doing. And I think being in nature can be really healing for a lot of people and dogs. So that could be it, but, you know, a good snuggle on the couch, you know, for the dogs that like snuggling, not Rowan, but other dogs.
My dogs love snuggling.
could be equally as, but I think, you know, just being there for your dog is a good thing. And for those dogs that, you know, are showing you they want to play fetch and goof around, then, and if you have it in you to do that, then, you know, then go for it.
I think they're just like us. Like, everybody deals with emotions in a different way, don't they? So some dogs will appear more resilient to the grief. That doesn't mean they're not feeling it, but they may appear a little bit more buoyant, if you like, to other dogs that might actually go into a, I don't know, depression almost.
And so the big things are to make sure your dog is eating and drinking, right? And if they've stopped eating and drinking, you know, mostly, you know, they can't go without drinking. So making sure that they are drinking. Some inappetence could be normal, but you're wanting to make sure that doesn't go on too long, and to be in touch with your vet about concerns for that. And if it is a really extreme case of grief where they're not eating and drinking, just making sure you're not letting that go too long. Your vet will be able to provide support, whether that's appetite stimulants or other anti-anxiety type of medication or something like that, just to help your dog through that rough spot. So I would definitely, if you're seeing things that are concerning, do make sure you talk to your vet as far as that goes.
Also, I think regulating yourself is really important. So yes, you are going through the grieving process, but you also have to support your dog. So by all means, grieve, but you know, they're going to pick up on your emotions. So you can go through the process together, but just be mindful that the more emotionally distressed you are, it could actually put that on your dog and make it harder for them as well. So,
So making sure that you get the support you need, whether that's talking to a professional or doing some of those things that help you kind of recover a little bit. I mean, when you're in the midst of grief, it's hard to think about, oh, I'm going to make sure I sleep enough and exercise and eat the right things and all of that. So, you know, but what can you do? You know, can you maybe listen to a meditation that helps put you in a better space? Like I said, walking in nature with your dog, that's something that might feel possible to you. So, and asking for help, you know, if there's, you know, if you're feeling just really low, just making sure that you're reaching out to friends, families, professionals, whatever that looks like for your case.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Remembering that it's going to rub off on your dog as well. So, but let's talk about dogs that suddenly get, as you said, may already have separation anxiety or maybe just totally develop separation anxiety once once their buddy passes on. So I guess firstly, I would not be rushing to leave that dog alone because you don't know how it's going to react. Initially, you know, the first time you walk out the door and they don't have their companion with them, you don't know what it's going to be like. So then there's a conversation about, do we get another dog?
Yes. So first things first, making sure that if you had two dogs and one of them passes, or even a dog and a cat and one of them passes, having a camera on the remaining dog, like, you know, help them feel supported through the transition. And then when they are, when you are getting ready to test that out to see if the dog will be okay while home alone, making sure that you have a camera on them and you're watching it live stream, so that if they are starting to show even low level signs of anxiety, that you do get back. So they're not having this big negative experience with that home alone time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So some dogs, they're fine. They can cope quite well.
Absolutely.
With that. Yeah. So but you don't know until you get that.
You really don't.
So,
And one of the things to look at in a case like this, where it's kind of the onset is the death of their companion, is it could be a temporary thing, but it's kind, it can depend on how you deal with that transition, right? So if you haven't supported them through that transition by, you know, helping them through their grief and giving them time, and, you know, making sure that if you are seeing those early signs of anxiety when they're left alone, and say you're not paying attention to those things and you're just leaving them and they're experiencing anxiety while they're alone, that can kind of grow into being a more permanent struggle. And so how you deal with that transition and how you can help them through can make a big difference. For some dogs, no matter what you do, it's like, you know, they had a propensity for separation anxiety and this kind of triggered it. But for other dogs, and we see this sometimes with rescue dogs as well, if you can help them through that life change, then it can be more of a temporary thing and you can help them through it relatively quickly compared to an animal that has full-blown separation anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If your dog suddenly develops it, I mean, well, if a dog passes, I think the best thing to do is try not to leave the one that's left behind. You know, you don't want to walk out the door the next day for 4 hours or whatever and expect them to cope without getting that live camera feed on them. And then I wouldn't even do it. I would be hoping to not have to leave them for maybe 2 or 3 days, maybe even longer, depending, and then test it with a very, very short absence where you're really close by and you've got that live camera feed so you can see exactly what's going on, and not assuming that they're going to be okay. Because without that information, you could have no idea. They could have that first little meltdown and then, as you said, it could escalate and get worse and worse and worse. Suddenly you've got a full-blown problem that if you dealt with it in a different manner, might not happen. So being cautious about that, those first few days where you maybe do want to go. It's like having a new dog in the home, isn't it? You don't want to just go out and leave them and expect them to be okay. You want to do it nice and cautiously and get that live camera feed on, have a short absence that's, you know, where you're right by there so you can get back in if you need to.
Yeah. And then, so the second thing you brought up as far as should we get another dog?
It's always a big question, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a huge one. It's a huge one. And I mean, I think in this case, when the separation anxiety is triggered by a loss, can be one of the cases where it can help, but it's not guaranteed, right? And it could be that, you know, you bring in a new companion animal, whether that's a cat or a dog, and it does nothing to help the existing dog's anxiety, or there could be other problems, right? There could be, they could not get along, or there could be some resource guarding or barking could trigger, you know, so there's like a lot of, so, you know, our suggestion is always, if you want another dog, get another dog, but don't get a dog for your dog. Ness, do you have a different take on it in this situation?
So I feel like if you don't want another dog, don't get one. because you don't want another dog. So because your dog's not coping, you're better off to do the training and just deal with what you've got and do some solid training to help them learn to be okay when they're home alone. If you're on the fence about getting another dog and you're like, oh, maybe, I think a good option is to foster, to adopt. So, I mean, there's plenty of dogs out there that need foster homes. So whether mm-hmm. you don't, you know, maybe as you said, there's some issues with the two dogs getting along, maybe they don't get along, or maybe it's a cat that you get. Maybe your dog says, I liked the cat that used to live here, but I don't like this one. Yes. So it's, I think fostering is a good way of, you know, seeing if the connection is going to work, if there is yes. a connection, if they fit, if the foster comes into the home, if it fits in with the family dynamics and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And then of course, if they do, then and it works, then brilliant. And of course, if you get another animal for your dog, or for your home, of course it might not work. It might work, but it might not work. So
that's right. There are no guarantees.
No. And that could be for any number of reasons, really. I mean, is it just because your dog was so bonded with the dog that passed? Or maybe they just don't like the newcomer. You never know. Sometimes they just got their own personalities and
I think it can really, and a lot of times when you're looking at foster dogs or dogs in rescue, you don't really have a ton of information about them, right? So it is a good way. Fostering to adopt is a fabulous way to learn more about it and to learn more about your dog's preferences. Like Rowan doesn't love other dogs. He doesn't love other dogs that are really boisterous, right? Mm-hmm. And that are going to want to like wrestle him and all of that kind of stuff. So for me, if I was picking a dog for our home, I would have to pick like a more low key dog to kind of, you know, complement his preferences. Cause otherwise there would be a lot of management, which is fine if you're willing to do that. But, you know, I would rather not have to do that. And so that's another thing to kind of consider is if you have seen preferences in your dog as far as the type of play style and the energy level and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, age, gender of the dog. If you have seen that, then that's information you can talk to the rescue about. And they may or may not know some of that information about the dogs that you're looking at, but if they have that information, they might be able to help you pick a foster that's more suitable for your home.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to remember, obviously, is when you're getting it, if you go down the rescue road, as opposed to maybe a puppy or something like that, you don't know necessarily what you're getting in terms of what other issues the newcomer might have. And, you know, mm-hmm. is it dog reactive? Is it, you know, is it trained? Is it feral? Has it got separation anxiety? You know, so there's all those things you've got to consider as well. So you don't, mm-hmm. obviously it would not be an ideal outcome if you brought a rescue into your home and that dog had separation anxiety. That would not be an outcome. So unless you are prepared to do the training, of course, and you know, that connection with your dog is so strong that you're willing to go down that road. That's probably cool. I think we've covered everything, really.
Yep. I think so too. I do think, you know, I just want to reiterate, make sure you're taking care of yourself. If you have a dog that is already has separation anxiety, and I think this is the only thing that we kind of missed, is that if you have a dog that has separation anxiety and they're kind of experiencing more difficulty with training, again, give them a break from training, help them, you know, move through the grief as best as y'all can do together. And then when you do pick up training again, just make it easier for your dog. Just do the very easiest thing. And that can depend on where you are when you left off. But, you know, make it something that your dog can ace that session. And then, you know, work back through training, but I wouldn't just assume that you could pick up where you left off, because due to the emotional state that your dog is in, it will likely be harder for them.
Yeah. And give yourself time, as you said, and give your dog time as well. And Yeah, it's awful losing a pet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah. I don't even like talking about it because I get emotional just thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to think about all the pets that you've lost, you know, when having a discussion like that. And there are on Facebook, and like our SPCA also has grief groups. So, you know, that is another tool for you to reach out to if that is something that would feel helpful to you, is just making sure that you're looking for that, if it's particularly helpful for you to be in a group setting where other people are experiencing the same thing, then that would be another support system for you.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. And sorry, this topic was a little bit of a downer, but I think it's important to talk about because it is, you know, part of having animals in your life. And
So if you have had a recent loss, we understand, and we are thinking of you.
And we're so sorry for you and sending you so many hugs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, let's sign off. And I'm Ness Jones. You can find me at nessjones.com. Stacey.
You can find me at focusfun.net. Thanks for joining us today. Yeah. We'll see you next time.
See you.